Yeah, you do a small four.
Hey, this is Chris Graham and Scott German here, and we're not live on Facebook because Facebook's not being cooperative. And, hell, Georgia Tech football wasn't very cooperative today. 17.5-point underdog coming in, but the Yellow Jackets play all game long with Virginia. Virginia holds on for a 33-28 win, and a banged-up Virginia defense holds on, I guess I can say, Scott. Georgia Tech gains 265 yards in the first half, but the Virginia defense, except for one drive in the second half, was pretty stout. And Bryce Perkins' big game, and Virginia escapes with the win. And I guess on a day when your team is banged up, that's really all you can ask for.
Yeah, the secondary again, you know, took another injury today. We didn't break. I don't know. I think we need to make a. The coaching staff will probably be at Walmart maybe this evening buying some duct tape because that's the way I think the defense is being held together right now with duct tape. But you know, Chris, I was thinking about this from another perspective. Might have been a brilliant coaching strategy by Coach Mendenhall to let a bad Georgia Tech team hang in here the whole game, give them a lot of confidence heading into their next game in which they host Virginia Tech.
Yeah, they did well. Graham, the quarterback, 229 yards, a career high, two touchdowns. A touchdown in the first drive was a 49-yard touchdown pass. And Georgia Tech, it just felt like for the longest time, was in control of this game, or at least bidding for control of this game. Led 14-7, Virginia answered, and then Georgia Tech answered that. The Georgia Tech defense then got a three and out. Virginia eventually takes a 17-14 lead late second quarter. Georgia Tech scored right before halftime. It felt like we were going to go into the break, Virginia down 21-17, but a big kickoff return by Tavares Kelly. Bryce Perkins, 43-yard run. Virginia scored right before halftime, 24-21, and it was a track meet, and then it turned into a slog as neither team scored in the third quarter. Virginia had great field position that whole third quarter, not able to score. Finally, a field goal to start the fourth quarter, a touchdown midway through, and Georgia Tech scores late. I'm giving you a really quick recap here. And Virginia got a couple of first downs in the 4-minute offense, as folks like to call it, to win this one in the end. But for Virginia to be a big favorite in this game, and of course, it doesn't really matter to some degree who's a favorite, who's not a favorite. But coming into this game, what you would say about Georgia Tech is that they can't throw the ball. They were 121st in the country in passing yards. Graham had a solid day, 229 yards passing, two touchdowns, and. Virginia was able to run a little bit, 155 yards, though 106 of that was Perkins. I don't know that you would have wanted Perkins to run as much as he did today. I think coming in, you would have hoped that Talapapa could have gotten a little bit more play. But ugly win, but a win for Virginia.
Yeah, this game unfolded very similarly to the North Carolina game last week. You thought we were going to have to win a shutout. Win a shootout. 24-21 at half.
Yeah.
Neither team looked like they could figure out the other team defensively or offensively. But then, the defense rose to the occasion in the second half. They had two, three series in a row that they shut Georgia Tech down, very similar to what happened down in Phoenix Stadium last Saturday night.
Yeah, 32 yards of offense for Georgia Tech in the third quarter. They had that 75-yard drive in the fourth quarter that got them within 33-28. It was a tight, uncomfortable game for Virginia fans here today because, for the most part, it was a one-score game. Virginia had that 33-21 lead just for that one defensive series. The only time in this game that it was a two-score margin for either side. And you look at some of the numbers here. We mentioned Bryce Perkins' big day. 258 yards, 24 of 35 passing, one touchdown, no interceptions. So that was important. In fact, for Virginia, no turnovers today. Bryce Perkins also 21 carries, 106 yards, one touchdown. Wayne Talapapa, 10 carries, 37 yards. Terrell Janna, big day again. After last week, the 13 catches on 16 targets. This week, 9 catches on 12 targets, 108 yards. Joe Reed, 5 catches, 27 yards. He had a touchdown in this game. Billy Kemp, nice day for a guy that hadn't been used a lot. But we saw today what his potential is. 4 catches, 51 yards. Also interesting, Hasees Dubois, no catches, just one target that we saw today. Not officially in the scorebook there, but we know we saw one target. So the Virginia offense, again, Scott, we've talked a lot, we've written a lot the last several weeks before last week's game about the play calling maybe, also the design of the offense execution. this is two straight weeks where Virginia last week up over 500 yards offense, this week 413. So you've been in the stadium two straight weeks now seeing this Virginia offense effective. What do you think they're doing right?
I think they're just being a little more creative. They're letting Bryce, you know, Bryce is an electrifying player. They're letting Bryce do Bryce-like things. If you look at the stats, yeah, he had he was responsible for over 400 yards of our offense, but he threw to six different receivers tonight, and that had to keep Georgia Tech a little bit off balance. I think Arnaiz is opening up the offense a little bit. I don't know whether or not it's just the time of the year. They have a backup quarterback again. They have Armstrong healthy and on the sidelines. I have no qualms. I mean, we've been as guilty as anyone for criticizing him this year, but the last two games, their offensive play calling has been very solid.
Offensive line also pretty solid today. Two sacks allowed. I would look at those, though. I'll have to go back to the play-by-play when I write a column on this later, but they were both coverage sacks.
Yeah.
Those were plays where Perkins kind of held the ball looking for a receiver, didn't find one. So it's not like in some of the previous games where we saw him under fire the whole game. So just two sacks for Georgia Tech today. Again, no turnovers for this Virginia offense. That's pretty important. Virginia 25 first downs, 9 of 16 on third downs, which is key. Virginia defense held Georgia Tech to 3 of 9 on third downs. So for a team that was moving the ball pretty well, Virginia was able to get off the field for the most part with some pretty good defense there. 143 yards rushing for Georgia Tech in this game on 32 carries. Mason with 94 on 19 runs. But you look at the receivers, not a lot of production. You know, the two big plays. In fact, it was a 59-yard touchdown in the first series. Brown with the big catch. But, you know, a few big chunk plays. But for the most part, UVA kind of slowed things down defensively.
Yeah, and, you know, we're talking about the offensive line. Two sacks today. They weren't, and just using my mind to just my memory to go back in the game, I don't think either of those were really on the offensive line.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to get the credit for it or to giving up the sacks, but I think that was just more Perkins deciding not to make something happen when the receivers were covered.
I know one was on a play in sort of towards the red zone, and he kind of held the ball a little bit longer than he needed to, maybe on that.
Right, right. So, and the other thing, too, Chris, you know, we're looking at the Georgia Tech stats. This is a team that's trying to put a round peg in a square hole because they're running a completely different offense than they did for the last 10, 12 years under Paul Johnson.
Yeah.
The coach had no opportunity to bring his players in. He's making do with what he has out there. And if you look at their last couple of games, they're starting to play pretty well. They went down to Miami, beat Miami. They played Pitt, lost to Pitt in a close game in the fourth quarter. It was a close game. They ended up losing 20-10. They come out here today and really give Virginia all they want. So I don't think you can look at this as a real ugly win. I mean, it may go down as that, but I think you got to give a little credit for Georgia Tech starting to figure out how to play with Coach Collins' playbook.
Well, I'll say this, though. I did look at the numbers for Pitt and Pitt. In the Pitt game, Georgia Tech had under 200 yards offense. That was more – I'm sure Georgia Tech will be talking about this. And in fact, we're talking right now. Bronco Mendenhall is now on the screen here in the stadium. He's down talking in the locker room. That Jeff Collins, the Georgia Tech coach, will probably be frustrated because last week his defense kept his team in the game. This week his offense gains 372 yards, a season high for this Georgia Tech offense. And yet with a season high production from the offense, they weren't able to get it done defensively. So this defense has actually the last few weeks been really important. You know, that win over Miami, the defense was solid, held Miami to 21 points, kept them in that game, and then they won it in the end. And, you know, they kept them in that game with Pitt last week. So maybe credit to this Virginia offense again. A Georgia Tech defense that has been playing really well the last few weeks. All of a sudden, Virginia, you know, puts up 413 yards offense and moves the ball up and down the field. Virginia, this is an important thing we haven't talked about yet, Scott. 6 of 6 in the red zone, 4 touchdowns, 2 field goals. This is a team we've written about a lot and we've talked about a lot. It's had trouble in the red zone. Now, that Miami game we lost, we had 9 points on 6 drives inside the 30-yard line. So today, effective in the red zone.
Yes, very much. And that was the way it was last week in Keenan Stadium down at Chapel Hill. Their red zone offense has become very efficient. And this is the time of the year you want that to be the trend. That's the way you want to be trending in the 10th game of the season. So the greatest opponent I think we can ever possibly ask for next week. The bye week.
Bye week.
And it could allow this team to get, don't know what the injury status for Moore was.
Yeah, but Chris Moore went down
when your
second
backup,
quarter.
Goes down, you're really starting to dig deep.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's not something that'll keep him out, you know, more than a week.
Moore was on the sidelines. He was kind of lobbying to get back in the game in the third quarter after coming out of the injury tent, which is famous everywhere now in college football. Everybody's got an injury tent. He was lobbying to come back in. Eventually, they just put a coat on him and told him to stand there. So I would think that was more precautionary than anything else. The defense was actually doing pretty well at that stage. No sense in putting him back out there. Again, with all the issues, you're down Bryce Hall, you're down Brenton Nelson for the season. You know, we have three new guys in the two deep that didn't, you know, weren't playing at the beginning of the season in the secondary. In this Virginia defense is so important because they play five guys, really start five guys in a 3-3-5 defensive scheme to get more speed on the field. So we have multiple guys kind of backing up at multiple positions. That tells you we're pretty thin back there, and you can't get any more thin. So the bye week important. Then Liberty here November 23rd. You know, they're a team that can really throw the ball. And so we're going to be tested again defensively in the secondary with that. We saw that last year. You know, last year they hung around for a while with this Virginia team here in Scott Stadium. But this win today, here's what this means. Virginia's 5-2 in the Coastal. This season's been up and down. You know, the 4-0 start, you lose at Notre Dame, that's not a conference game. You lose at Miami, a game you probably should, you think you should have won. You lose at Louisville, another game you think you should have won. And it feels weird to say this, Scott, but Virginia's 5-2 in the driver's seat in the Coastal Division, and we know that it, at the least, when we play here November 29th against Virginia Tech, at the very least, we're playing with a win in that game, meaning Virginia goes to the ACC championship game, and it may not even, because there's a lot to happen between now and then.
Yeah, at worst, we're playing for the ACC championship. At best, it makes no difference.
That's right. That's right. So that's the stakes. Well, for Scott and I, we'll be here, not physically right here in Scott Stadium. We'll be not very far away, though, about a mile up the road at John Paul Jones Arena tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. Virginia will play the home opener for the 2019-2020 season, JMU coming to Charlottesville. And so live blog for that one. We'll have a recap afterwards. We'll do a video. This is not live because we just couldn't get Facebook to work live for some reason today. So sorry for that. We normally would like to take questions from folks. But look around 8 or 8:15 tomorrow for our recap from that. And a fun UVA sports weekend for us here, as we have football, we have basketball. The champions tomorrow, defending national, I can't say that enough, Scott, defending reigning national champions, open play tomorrow night.
Yeah, and it should be a little warmer in JPJ than it was here in the open air press box at Scott Stadium.
Yeah, we can't wait to get out of this open air press box and get back inside where it's warm. So thank you for joining us here on Facebook and also on our podcast. We'll post that later. I want to thank you for joining us and have a great day, everybody.